knowledge today. And I really want to thank Abe. I call him up and I kind of give him just a general idea of what we want to do. And it's always interesting just when you give somebody an idea. I always think me and Abe kind of think differently whenever we put lessons together, but there's going to be some similarities in our lesson, which there won't be many. I think there's only one verse that I use that he used, but there's some quotes that we both use. So I always think that's interesting, especially when you give somebody a broad topic. You can touch both on the same things, but both have them work. This lesson that I was thinking about, because Abe lets me kind of pick the theme, is here just a few years ago. I changed my profession. Not entirely. I was in IT, and I changed over to work for a school district. So now what I do is mostly help people gain knowledge. And I think of the power that's there, the power in knowledge. And as you know from kind of what Abe's lesson talked about, you know, it's kind of a play on words based on the famous quote. But this is just kind of a verse that I wanted to use. It says, the heart of a prudent acquires knowledge. And, of course, I had to look up, again, what prudent means, to gain some knowledge. And it was defined on somebody with some forethought, looking ahead. And the ear of the wise seek knowledge. So I thought this verse worked great with what we wanted to kind of talk about today, to talk about what we can use with knowledge. So, knowledge, as defined, is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. So that gets back into what I was discussing about there in education. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject is knowledge. So, you know when somebody's not knowledgeable because then they don't have these things. And then, earlier, we learned that knowledge is power. Also quoted from Francis Bacon, as I enjoy anybody's name that has bacon in it. So, to kind of get started with knowledge today, I was thinking about just putting a little quiz together. So, I found a quiz that was actually a national survey that was done on it. There's only 5 questions. You can write your answers down on a piece of paper if you would like, or just kind of keep them in your head. And then I kind of want to go over the answers, then how you did against the rest of the United States. And I kind of have the demographic numbers that we can kind of take a look at here in a minute. So when we talk about knowledge, you know, Abe ended with, we need to have this knowledge of the Bible. So with that, we'll kind of give a little quiz about some of the knowledge of the Bible. So the first question we have is, what is the first book of the Bible? Kind of just keep that in your head. Kind of write down the answer if you know it without cheating. Without opening up your Bible. So what is the name of the first 4 books of the New Testament? Okay. Where, according to the Bible, was Jesus born? From which part of Adam's body did God create Eve? And what was the apparent source of Samson's strength? I was thinking you could have 2 answers with that. So, just kind of think of these questions, just because some might be like, wow, this is the easiest quiz I've ever taken. I hope so. That really shows where your knowledge is. Based on these Bible facts. So, let's kind of go over these answers real quick. Of course, what is the first book of the Bible? That's Genesis. So I hope everybody got that. So, what are the names of the first 4 books of the New Testament? So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Where, according to the Bible, was Jesus born? So I hope we have Bethlehem. Okay. Which part of Adam's body did God create Eve? And I believe it was a rib. And what was the apparent source of Samson's strength? You could say his hair, but I started thinking that, you know, it could also be God. This is from God. So I started thinking maybe that wasn't a great question. But let's look at these first 3 parts of these questions. We're just going to look at these 1, 2, and 3. I added 4 and 5 just to kind of get us thinking this morning. So based on this religious knowledge quiz, it was a nationwide poll conducted in May 19th through June 6th of 2010 among 3,410 Americans of the age 18 and older. the people surveyed said that they were among the religious. Nearly 6 in 10 adults say their religious was very important in their lives. Roughly 4 in 10 said they attended worship service at least once a week. So these were the people that were surveyed in this. So, all right. With that said, let's kind of look at what the results were of this knowledge survey. So, nearly 2/3 of the public, 63%, correctly named Genesis as the first book. Wow. So, with all of these people that were asked, 63% knew that Genesis was the first book. Slightly less than half polled, 45%, can name all four books of the Bible, the first four of the New Testament. And then with that, most people knew, 71%, that according to the Bible, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So with that, and we're going to kind of use this thought throughout teaching and gaining knowledge throughout the rest of the topics we're going to use today. So we can gain a lot from knowledge. You know, we can help people that do not know this. You know, I started thinking, half of the people we meet may not know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books of the New Testament. So there's always teaching opportunities based on something simple here too. And then we're going to get into the kind of demographics of hearing things versus teaching things and learning from knowledge. So I have just to kind of start us off here, just knowledge gives you options. So knowledge gives you options of what? So, knowledge gives you options of what educational paths you want to take, what you want to learn about, what you want to know. It doesn't mean that you have to work in that field. I'm interested in a lot of stuff. It doesn't mean that, you know, that's what I'm going to work in. But also, it can help us be better at our jobs, to know more, to understand more, to better ourselves. Having knowledge can help us have healthier lives. Like we can know what foods to eat, what can make us healthier, things to avoid and make us healthier and happier. Also, making friends. You know, if you kind of have a well-rounded knowledge of things, you can make friends with just about anybody because you can find common ground, talk about subjects. You know, knowledge can be very powerful when trying to befriend somebody. And also our service as Christians. Probably the most important form of knowledge that we can talk about today is our biblical knowledge and about how knowledge helps us serve as Christians. So, I just kind of want to go over a couple examples of how knowing some facts has helped me in conversation with some people. So, I've had conversations in the past where I've brought up verses. And I'll give them a chapter and a verse with somebody I'm talking with, and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, that's in a different chapter, so that's not really related to what we're talking about. I'm like, well, you know, it's really one continuous thought. And they'll be like, no, you know, God divided it up for that reason. It's like, oh, really? Well, did you know that Bibles and chapters and verses weren't, you know, divided up until the 1200s? So therefore, you know, the Bible is a continuous thought, and the books are. Then the chapters and the verses weren't added till later. So now when I discuss this with people, they're like, oh, well, I didn't realize that. I thought this verse was its own standalone thing, and it didn't involve the next verse. So that piece of knowledge has been able to help me teach other people. So another example of how Bible verses has helped me, I used to work in an area that there was about 8 people that worked in the same room. And we always had the news on. Well, the news was talking about a story about how cursing in the workplace relieves stress. Well, that aggravated me a lot. And I was just like, I don't know how anybody could think that. And, you know, people in the room were starting to agree with it. And I was like, hold on. You know, and they were like, Kyle, well, you know, well, what do you think about it? And I was like, well, I have a verse for you. So I used Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And I use this to support that. So that knowledge of this helped me have that conversation with people to help give them knowledge about what the Bible has to say. Because the other people in the room also claimed to be religious, but they also thought that it was okay to curse in the workplace. So I definitely wanted them to know, you know, this is actually in the Bible. This is there for that reason. So things of knowledge can help us help other people. So let's talk about some examples from the Bible. So let's talk about some Bible stories here. So the first one I like to talk about is Paul. Then we'll talk about the people of Nineveh. We'll talk about Mary and Martha and the Ethiopian eunuch. Those are kind of the ones I want to take a look at that knowledge helped each one of these people. So let's start with Paul. So Paul has an interesting story, and I probably use him and the Ethiopian eunuch every time that I've been up here. So I just kind of wanted to just get some verses, and we can kind of talk about Paul. You know, Paul is also known as Saul, as mentioned here. He was persecuting Christians. And here in verse 3 it says, here at the end, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging men and women, committing them to prison." So he was dragging them off, committing them to prison. So he thought he was doing what was right. He didn't have the knowledge of God yet. He thought he was doing what was right. He was, you know, taking Christians, pulling them, you know, either to be killed or to be put into prison. So what happened once Paul did become knowledgeable of God? So we all know the story from Acts 9, and I kind of just have a verse here. I definitely would suggest to go back through and read some of these passages if you're interested here. So Acts 19:19 through 20, it talks about after he was baptized, he spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. You know, there's a lot of things that we can read about how Paul, you know, because it does say that he immediately after that preached to Christ in the synagogue. So he instantly had this knowledge. Now there is a lot of passages and things to read about how he gained that knowledge, about whether it was, you know, a miracle on him receiving the Holy Spirit, about gaining the knowledge to go out and preach to others. But there's also, you know, he did spend some days with the disciples at Damascus. But he gained this knowledge. He instantly knew he was doing wrong, that he needed to go out and teach others. So he knew what he needed to do. So, but he didn't before. So he gained that knowledge. So he had to go out and teach others. So let's look at the people of Nineveh. You know, this story has always been interesting. So if we look at Jonah 1 and 2, it says that the people of Nineveh, the wickedness rose up against God. So these people were already doing wrong in the sight of the Lord. They were doing wrong, so God wanted Jonah to go preach to them. So there's a whole story in between these two verses I'm going to give, because this is the very first of Jonah. Then here is the last part of Jonah. So I cut out all the in-between section, which is a whole other study in itself. So this other section talks about how the people of Nineveh believed in God. They even proclaimed a feast and put sackcloth and ashes on them. You know, these people went from not knowing about God and Jonah actually being afraid to go talk to them about it, to where these people, that even the king of Nineveh arose from his throne. I mean, he shook this entire, you know, civilization almost up, this whole city, because of something they didn't know, something they were not knowledgeable about, that he taught them, and then they knew what they needed to do. You know, they even turned from what they were doing. I'm pretty sure that was a little shocking to Jonah, because I think he was expecting them to fall and expecting, you know, himself to be in danger. But that's not what happened. When people learned about it, they instantly knew what they needed to do. To kind of go along with this, we have Mary and Martha. This is a little bit different story than some of the other things that I have this morning. But it's more to talk about ourselves here and how we gain knowledge. So I have in Luke 10, 38 through 42, and I'd like to read this real quick. And it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who was also at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, are you worried and troubled about many things? But one thing indeed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So I kind of wanted to think about this passage real quick when we talk about gaining knowledge. So we have two sisters here, Mary and Martha. And Jenna actually brought this to my attention. That's why this is in this lesson, or I would have never thought about to use this for this reason. So we have one sister that's distracted, and she's trying to help and serve and clean and everything. And the other sister is so interested in gaining knowledge and listening to what Jesus is saying, nothing else matters. Not helping, not doing anything. And even the other sister comes over and says, you got to tell her to help me. I'm doing all this alone. And Jesus is kind of like, this is more important, than what you're doing. With that said, how are we in our religious lives trying to gain knowledge? Who are we like? Are we like Mary or Martha here? Are we really wanting to gain that knowledge? And just with that, it even says she was distracted. She was distracted trying to serve. There in verse 40 it says, but Martha was distracted trying to serve. So, I kind of wanted to talk about distractions. Distractions kind of prevent us from gaining knowledge. So, of course, what I just said, distractions can prevent us from gaining knowledge. You can tell that I wrote this. So, to go along with that, I kind of have some statistics. And some of these may shock you, some may not. It says the average person now checks their phone 150 times a day. So every 6 minutes, somebody checks their phone. This doesn't shock me. I watch people all the time. They check their phones. They're constantly looking for things. I typed in distractions just in Google when I was trying to get up these numbers. And it showed a picture of a back of a church building. And it was the preacher was up here, and then like everybody was on an iPad or a cell phone. Nobody was even looking forward. I just thought that was an interesting picture. Because, they may have been using a Bible app or something. I don't know. It's just the way the picture was. It made it look like nobody was even caring what anybody was saying. I may even be one of these people that check it 150 sometimes a day. I don't know. But that's definitely a distraction for us. Also, researchers also say that Americans watch 37 to 40 hours of television a week. As you know, I teach at two places. I'm working on my master's. I had a lot going on, and I had a student say, how do you get all that done? I said, easy, I don't watch TV. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, you can gain, 40 hours. You can almost gain 2 days of your life back a week by not watching TV. That's kind of crazy if you think about it. So that's a distraction we have. We have a lot of distractions. And also, I was reading about 7 reasons why young adults quit the church. This was a survey done. The number one response was, we're distracted. That was the top response. It had something to do with distraction. Whether they didn't know that it was even on Sunday, or when services were, or Wednesdays, or anything. They just said that it was a distraction. We'd rather be doing this. I was caught up doing this and I didn't come to services. I thought that was interesting, that these distractions, can cost us a lot. They can remove us from gaining knowledge. So, with that said, we can talk about removing distractions to gain knowledge. Because, I don't know how much everybody will take away from this morning. I don't know how much knowledge will be gained. I don't know what you guys are thinking about right now. You guys may be worried about what work you need to do when you get home, or things to do this week, or if you have family coming in. There's a lot of things that distract us. And I read this. This was a quote when I was reading about the distractions. And it says, there's no value in wasting mental energy over the negative circumstances on those who only value their own self-interests. Well, I thought that was interesting because I was reading in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body that you will or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I was thinking of these verses because I'm like, if distractions are what are keeping us from learning, you know, maybe distractions are what we need to remove from our life to help us learn. And I've thought about this verse a lot because worry, we talk about worry all the time. You know, we may be worried right now about, you know, where are we going to have lunch or where are we going to eat or, you know, what's going to be happening. But we're also told not to worry about these things, that God will provide for us. Along with having knowledge, there's a lot of power that comes along with knowledge. There's a couple verses that I want to kind of look at that we need to be careful about the knowledge we have. So knowledge can be dangerous because human knowledge, apart from God's, can be flawed. So we can't just use our own thoughts to do with whatever we want. So I wanted to use two verses to kind of support this thought. So knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. Now, I've used this before when talking about how we can't just say, well, I know or I feel, because it even says that the Scripture isn't even open for interpretation. So, with that, I was thinking, you know, we may have somebody come in and says, oh, well, you know, I know all this, this, and this, so you guys need to stop what you're doing and do this. Be like, whoa, you know, is that just the way that you're interpreting it? Is that just the way that, you know, you're trying to do this and that? You know, that there is, it's not open for interpretation. So they may have a lot of knowledge on something, but they don't have the power to tell us what we need to do. And also, 1 Corinthians, it says, now concerning all things offered to idols, we know that all knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I thought of this before, too. I know working in the education field has been a little different for me. I had the person come down to evaluate me for a college class that I was teaching. I had to follow the curriculum and everything that was set up. There was a lot of missed questions. There was a lot of mistyped and misprinted things all within this stuff that they gave me to teach. There's even wrong answers for questions. And I was there was a lady that stopped in that put it together, and she stood in front of the class and she said, I know all of this is right because I did it. I was like, wow. That's quite impressive that that much was actually wrong in what you did. And I was thinking this, you know, knowledge is puffed up because the students asked me, they were like, oh, well, you know, do you know everything that's involved with networking? I said, not even in the slightest. Not the more I learn, the more I know I don't know. And I feel the same way with the Bible. Like, I can't tell somebody, you know, this is exactly this, because I need to learn more myself. I need to know more about things myself, that I need to be thoughtful of when talking to others. I just couldn't believe that this person said this when they walked into this class. And I was thinking, wow, you know, the more I learn, the more I find out that I need to know. I can't believe that somebody would come in and claim that they knew everything about these topics. But I feel the same way with the Bible. You know, that we need to be careful. We need to be thoughtful of these things. So, knowing these things, we have to know how to enter the kingdom. By using our knowledge, we have to know how to enter the kingdom. So, I have here about the narrow way. And the narrow way, it says, enter by the narrow way, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there may be many who go in it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. So, I've always had a mental image whenever I've read about this. Because I've always equated a lot of this to knowledge. You know, because narrow is the gate. You have to know how to follow it. You have to know how to go that way. And I kind of have a picture that I have always thought of the narrow way. I've read about narrow and straight, you know, and about how straight doesn't necessarily mean straight. Straight isn't a waterway and it curves and turns and stuff. But this is the picture that I've always thought about, a narrow way. So I don't know if you can see Jenna right there, and this is me. That's my shoulders. As you can see, this pathway is the exact same width as my shoulders. I mean, there's no other way to get through here. I mean, I don't even know if I could have fit if I turned sideways. And this, I always thought of this as the narrow way. This is down a natural bridge in Kentucky. And this is just the thought that I've had of this narrow way. You know, there's you can't go off either side, and there's just this single pathway. You know, I was looking at pictures online for what other people called the narrow way. You know, and they would have like this big fence and then just like this little gate. You know, I was thinking, wow, you know, there's all of this open area. You know, I've always thought of this as being the narrow way, that you just have this small path to go through. I think of the city of Petra, about how there was just a narrow path into it. And that's why the city could never be attacked. It was just that small path. And then, broad is the way that leads to destruction. I guess I could have used the same picture because I guess I was a little too broad to fit through. But here's just a picture of this highway. You know, look how broad that is. Think of how many thousands of people travel down this road. I couldn't figure out where exactly this was at, but I know that there's ones like this like in Los Angeles and near big cities. And I think of how broad this is and about how easy it is to follow this way. You almost not need any knowledge just to kind of go with the flow, you know, just to just go along with anything. But the narrow way is very exact. Like, you have to follow this. Where this, you know, you can pick whatever lane you want. There's like 16 lanes or something right here. So, with the narrow way, Jesus talks to the rich young ruler. And of course, we know the story of the rich young ruler because God says, well, you know, have you done this, 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 and this? And he's like, yes, I followed all these things since I was young. And he was like, okay, well, go sell everything you have and take up your cross and follow me. And he's like, well, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. So once he found out what he needed to do, you know, which way did he take? Did he take the narrow way or the broad way? I mean, all we can read from this is that when he left from here, he was sorrowful. I don't know if later he may have done something. I don't know. But we know from here that he didn't choose that way. So we have to figure out what path to take. And it's pretty simple when we start, you know, putting all these pieces together about knowledge and everything. What path to take? We talk about the Ethiopian eunuch here in Acts 8, 27 through 36. So we have the Ethiopian eunuch here. He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading from Isaiah. You know, and Philip says here in verse 38, he ran to him and he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? So he's looking to gain knowledge. He's trying to figure out, you know, I'm reading this. I don't know if I'm necessarily understanding it, but I'm trying to gain knowledge. So Philip opened his mouth and began preaching the scriptures to him. So the Ethiopian eunuch instantly knew. He said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he instantly knew what he needed to do. When he started studying, he realized he gained that knowledge of what he needed to do. You know, and I was thinking the Ethiopian eunuch is perfect for this whole example about gaining knowledge. Because he wanted to gain the knowledge. He was trying to. He needed help in showing him the way. You know, and then he probably went and taught a whole bunch of other people. You know, because he went away praising God. And we also have the steps there with the Ethiopian eunuch about what it takes to be baptized. But teaching others can really help us gain knowledge. And I'll kind of have some other information that kind of helps show us how teaching others can help us out. So Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, yet again, talking about preachers needing to preach and go out and teach others. Also, here at the end of Matthew in 28:18 through 20, when we talk about the Great Commission, where it talks about, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So, yet again, teaching these things. So, I know that I've talked about quite a few things here this morning, talking about knowledge and teaching and everything. But I kind of have some retention demographics for you. And I've read these before, and sometimes they're kind of shocking. So, up here this morning, I'm basically giving a lecture. So your guys' retention is only at about 5%. But since I'm up here teaching, my level's at 90%. So by me teaching this, I'll retain 90% of what I put together and presented this morning. You guys may only have retained 5%. But that doesn't that show us that we need to go out and teach others? Because if we go out and teach others, won't our retention be at 90%? Even though it's just 5% this morning to gain an interest or an idea, to gain a little bit of knowledge this morning, don't we want to take that? So, if we can take the 5% and turn it to 90%. So, Matthew 4:18-20 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting nets into the sea, and they were fishermen. And when he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men,' and immediately they left their nets and followed him." So, they didn't know anything about Jesus. But he said, "I will make you fishers of men." So we all know that they went out and preached and taught the word. So they went from not knowing anything to knowing 90%. They were the teacher, so to say. So they were a Christian fisherman. And to kind of go along with a Christian fisherman, and I kind of using fisherman as gaining knowledge, you know, in teaching others, to gain Bible knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So I think this is the verse that Abe used. So we talk about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. So we want to use that in going and teaching others, this fear of the Lord. And also here, if we may need some wisdom, we look at James 1:5. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all of the liberty without reproach and will be given to him." So we need to know that we need to ask for that wisdom. And kind of going along with the whole fishing idea about going out and teaching others. Here in Titus, we have teaching others, showing all things yourself to be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and the sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, but having evil to say of you. So therefore, going out and teaching others in good works, you know, talking about the Lord. So we still want to take this 5% and turn it to 90%. And I want to use this quote, and I'm going to kind of change it around a little bit to kind of end our lesson today, is when thinking about fishers of men and talking about gaining knowledge, I think of this Chinese proverb. It says, give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. So this is talking about gaining knowledge, right? So if you just give him the fish, okay, he's fed for that day. But if you teach him, if he gains that knowledge, you'll feed him for a lifetime. So what if we modified this proverb, this ancient Chinese proverb, to fit kind of our lesson today, where we take our 5% and turn it to 90%? Since if you give a man a Bible verse, you interest him for a day, so you gave him 5%. But if you teach a man to study God's word, now you're at 90%, you'll give him everlasting life. So that's just kind of what I wanted to finish with today, to talk about how, you know, I don't know if anybody may not even remember the title of this lesson today, if we're only, you know, gaining 5%. But if we go home and study, if we think about these things and teach others, we can go from 5% to 90%. So we can gain 85% of our knowledge retention, of learning and understanding the Bible in a very easy way. So I just was kind of thinking of this, about how we can teach somebody, you know, or help them study, and they can help themselves in gaining knowledge from God. So if anybody would like to become a Christian, follow him, you know, and have that everlasting life, please come forward as we stand and sing.